Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Benetti. Welcome to Second Sight NYC. It's Wednesday, November 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with my co-host, psychic medium Chris George. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steph. How are you?
Fantastic, as usual.
As usual.
That's my standard. So I just want to mention last show, we'd like to thank our guests, Jason and Andrea, for being with us and sharing their story. So if you have anything to mention about last week's exorcism.
Well, the exorcism, I mean, what else to say? It was absolutely an amazing night. It was rewarding because we actually got rid of the spirit that was in the home. The homeowners were very grateful. They came on the show last week and did a fantastic job. They were very nervous about being on the show, to tell you the truth. But I have to say, they did a great job. We got a lot of fantastic feedback about how well they did and, you know, how brave they were for coming on and talking about their
More so than that was the things that they didn't say that they needed to say.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that they needed to say, but they were supposed to call in tonight. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but I've been speaking to them throughout the week, and I just want everybody to know that things are going fantastic in their home. No paranormal problems, no bad spirits. Everything is going great for them. They're very grateful. They're back in their home, living comfortably and enjoying life.
That's great, right?
Yeah, and like I said, there were a lot of other things to be said last week, and we might actually get to it some more on this show. If Alex is around and he wants to call in and we need to talk a little bit more about it, we'll bring him on the line again because he actually took lead in the exorcism. It was his first one. He's been with me for a couple of years
now.
Well,
if you like, we could bring him on the line right now.
Oh, is he here now? All right, bring him on.
All right, let's do that. Alex, are you with us?
Hello?
Oh,
Beatrice.
Beatrice is there
it's
also.
It's the woman of the house.
Hold on. I'll put him on. Hold on.
All right. Good.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, what's
doing,
up?
Alex?
You were surprised, right?
Yes, I was.
Well, listen, we just wanted to talk a little bit more about the exorcism from last week as we're waiting for our guest to call in. He hasn't called in yet, so we figured we'd go over, you know, some stuff that we didn't go over last week with the exorcism. Talk to us about it, Alex. What do you remember from the night?
Well, I remember him being very angry. And one thing that always happens, if anybody's been involved in exorcism, the spirit always, it is like the fourth or fifth time in exorcism, they always fool us. Because Chris gives us, if anybody's listening, Chris will tap. We have to keep his hands free. He'll tap to let us know to wake him up to get him out of the channeling when he channels that spirit into him, and it always happens when we wake him up and he's like, oh, it's me, and all of a sudden he lunges usually at the homeowner, grabs them, and it's a big fight, and it happened again. We always get fooled,
right? But I'm not a fool. I'm never getting fooled, right? I'm always like, no,
no,
it's
you
him.
Never do. We get fooled, you don't.
I'm like, no.
Well, you know what, hold on a second, you did get fooled this time.
What, because he was right and I was wrong? I'll take my
wrong aspect
every time. I mean, no, you know what? You know what? I'd rather take the stance that I'm not going to get fooled.
Well, no, that's actually, for anyone who's listening, I'm busting Stephanie's chops a little bit, but she's absolutely right because a lot of times when I'm channeling, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm in a complete trans-channeled state and a negative spirit will always be negative. Negative spirit will always try and trick you, try to do that little bait and catch thing, and a lot of times they get
Bait and switch.
Bait and switch, but bait and catch because they always seem to catch the homeowner or a person that's close. That's why I said the bait and catch.
Stephanie Benetti.
Well, Stephanie's usually hiding behind the biggest guy, but.
Well, no, Stephanie has a camera and she's waiting for the deception to happen.
Yeah.
And waiting to capture it on camera.
Yeah.
But
you know what, Alex, what we're going to do now is we're going to go on with the show a little bit. We're going to take our guest because he just dialed into the show. And we're going to bring you back on the line later to talk a little bit more about the exorcism, because there's just so much more to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, actually, we didn't have enough time.
Yeah, last week,
all
I mean,
right, no problem,
if we could have had 2 hours for last week's show, it would have been appropriate.
All right, so thanks, Alex, for being
all right,
on
welcome,
the line.
All right,
welcome,
guys.
We'll
have a great show.
Shortly. Thank you. So, tonight we have an array of things. We have some email readings. We have various other readings. We have a dream interpretation, which is something new
something
that
new.
We've never done. We also have our guest, Chris Allen, who has an array of stories, and we're going to speak to him shortly. I'd like to just say we receive so many emails and callers, and we can't always get to them at the time.
But we try.
Yeah, we do try. But you could always contact us on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or as our entity, I'd say it, Sex Site Para, or my name, Stephanie Benetti, or Chris George Cirillo. We appreciate all our listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring our guest on the line tonight.
Well, first we're going to take a quick phone reading, aren't we?
Would you like to?
Yeah, let me bust out a quick phone reading, and then we'll bring Chris on.
All right, so we're going to take, we received Gail, who turned up at the start of our show. Gail, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
It's Stephanie. Hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
Okay,
thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh. You're very welcome.
Our pleasure.
So what is your question, Gail?
Okay, I've been dating someone since about August, and I'm concerned about his health. I haven't been hearing from him lately, and I'd like to know if he's okay and if he's going to call me and I'll hear from him again.
Well, health-wise, I'm getting that he's okay. I'm not getting anything pressing where you need to worry. And as far as him calling you, I think within the next 2 weeks you're going to get your phone call. And remember I said that because you could call me back in 2 weeks and let me know that I was right or wrong for that
matter. Actually, we'd appreciate it if you did.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
I would appreciate
right.
it if you did. But within yeah. the next 2 weeks you're going to get a phone call. And I think you're going to be more pleasantly surprised than not surprised. I think it's going to things are going to actually wind up getting a little bit better for you. To just keep an open mind and get out of old ways of thinking. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that makes sense to you.
Okay.
It should. Just
uh-huh.
get out of the old ways of thinking. I think it's going to be more about him than you. I think you're ready for the relationship. I think he's the one that's a little wishy-washy on it.
Okay.
But
all right.
be strong-minded, strong-willed, and
mm-hmm.
Just let it happen.
Okay. And his health is okay, you're saying?
Well, I'll put it this way. If there's nothing that's so pressing that something bad is going to happen, I don't
okay.
see anything bad happening.
Okay, good. Okay.
Is there anything else you would like to know, Gail?
Yes, that's it. That's great. Thanks, Chris, so much.
You are so welcome.
All right, you
okay,
have to let
welcome.
Us know, Gail. Call
yes,
back
I will.
And let us
I
know.
I will. Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, so the other item before we take our featured guest, lovely Chris Allen, we are going to take an email reading from Elsa.
Right. Elsa sent me an email, and she wanted to know about a relationship. And I remember meditating on this and thinking, and nothing was really coming up for her relationship. I was starting to get nervous because, you know, usually it comes to me right away. But what happened was I started getting other things, and this is what I got first, okay? So, Elsa, if you're listening, and I know you are, this is your email reading. You need to be persistent and stick with your project to its completion no matter what. Be willing to defend your beliefs and principles and meet any challenges or criticisms head on. I know you know what that means. It's time to stop your delay and avoidance tactics and get on with what you know you need to do. Stop procrastinating, girl, all right? Stop always depending on others, then resenting them when they don't come through. And trust that you have the capability to be self-reliant. And you know you could do it. I know you could do it, so just do it, you know. Stop procrastinating, okay? You need to turn your anger and aggression into constructive action without cutting others to shreds. You got a sharp tongue, you know. Chill out. Okay, now.
All right, nicely.
Well, listen, you want it, I'm going to give it. I'm being nice. Okay, now to get to your question about your relationship. Again, this took a little bit more time. That other stuff came in first, and then the relationship stuff started coming in. So what I'm seeing for you is major changes happening, okay? I feel your ex is coming back into your life, and you need to look beyond what he shows you on the outside and see who and what he really is on the inside, okay? If you're fine with what you see, then try and make it work. If not, walk away. Remember that you already split once. Remember the reasons why you split. One step forward and two steps back means you're going backwards, all right? Going backwards is usually never a good thing. Think about that. And don't confuse lust with love. That's my email reading for Elsa.
Not so diplomatic as...
Well, I tell it like it is. I thought it was pretty nice.
Okay, so I'd like to bring all guests on. His name is Chris Allen. He's a lovely guy. He has many stories and many avenues, and I've had a few people who have asked me this week, who's your guest? And they're usually looking for, like, oh, they're a paranormal this, or they're a spirit photographer, or they're a feng shui expert. When it came to him, I was like, wow, this guy's got lots of stories.
Right. We didn't know exactly what to say.
Right. So I'm going to bring him on the line. Chris, are you with us?
Hey, I'm here. Hey, Snow. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
How you guys doing tonight?
So I introduced you as a guy who has lots of stories.
Like a smorgasbord of stories.
I love it.
That's true. You know, I look at life so much differently. I look at life so much differently than some people.
When we spoke with you, that was the first thing that came to my mind, that this guy's got a lot to speak of, and we like that about you.
Yeah, when we got off the phone with you, Chris, myself and Stephanie looked at each other and we were like, okay, which way are we taking this? You got the music, you got the TV show coming up, you got
he has a lot of aspects.
The whole Bigfoot thing,
just
I mean...
Before he speaks, and I can't wait, you have things that I love, music, you have entertainment, you have the show, you have some interesting stories. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, so talk to us, Chris. Tell us about you. Tell us your story.
Well, you know, after my death many years ago, about 17 years ago after I died, I had a nervous breakdown and took my very own life. You know, nobody in the world would ever think that I would be the type of person that would be, because I'm always cutting up, and nobody would ever think that a person like myself would get to that point where you get so suicidal. But after I lost my wife and son through a tragic divorce, she took everything I had and just walked out of my life. And after that, I just made up my mind I didn't want to live anymore. And when it got to the point where I actually took my life, I'm sitting on the floor. I looked up after I heard two people speaking in tongue, which ended up the man walked in front of me. It was Jesus Christ. And I couldn't say words to him. My tongue was just, I couldn't speak. And he started speaking to me, and he reflected my life since I was a child, telling me that my first dog ran away from home. My parents loved me so much to replace it with another dog. He went through seven dogs, and I could see, touch, and almost smell those dogs as he talked to me about those dogs. And after this, I woke up from this dream. My whole world changed. I realized, wow, you know, I just took my life. Life is so precious, and so many people take it for granted. They take little things and make trivial, huge mountains and argue about little, simple things when the whole point of life is enjoy it. You have to enjoy every day, just like Tim McGraw has the song, Live Like You Were Dying. And at that point,
yeah, I like that. And really,
most
people don't realize, like, put it in perspective, it's such small, trivial stuff in the scheme of what's important.
Families break up, split up, relationships go south. So many little things over little, stupid things because somebody may not have backed off and said, I'm sorry. In my case, you know, when Jesus talked to me, he told me that I taught myself at a very early age to never give anyone my heart because when I do, I'm afraid they'll leave me like the dogs have left me when I was a baby and a young man growing up. And after I realized this, like, wow, I never gave anyone my heart, never, because I was too scared to, and I didn't understand this. I'm a graduate of so many different schools and different places. I thought I could surely understand my own life, but my own self was the most complicated tool to overcome. And once I learned how to work with myself, I took my dreams to Nashville, and I gave it my all. I gave it everything I had. And I mean, if you go to my website and look at the pictures, I was a street performer for 2 years without a paycheck. I lived day to day off a tip jar. And I had bills like anyone else. I had my rent and utilities, et cetera. And I worked every day, got a tip jar out, and I was making decent money at it. But after a while, it was what I loved. It was the entertainment. I could live in a box. It didn't matter as long as I was singing somewhere. And it ended up that my dreams started falling too. As they were coming together. I was making things happen because I believed in myself. I kept it up.
But
and
Chris,
I pursued it.
Chris, let me interject. You had some tragic things, right? Your parents, cancer, and you had a lot of things in between that changed your perspective, no?
Yeah, well, it never was a roller coaster ride, as with anyone's life. You know, you get to the point of life that you're way at the top of the roller coaster, and everything's just going great, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out. We're in the middle of my fifth album, my best album, and I got a phone call from my parents telling me that they both found out within, they didn't tell me when they found out at the beginning. They waited a little bit to break it to me. After they both realized, after going to the doctor, they both had cancer, they told me, and both my parents within 2 weeks found out they had cancer. Now, my parents, they're inseparable. They've been together for 50 years, best friends on earth, and they love each other. And
that's lovely. Mm-hmm.
When they found out they had cancer, you know, it was just like I was starting to prepare myself then to get more time back home as I was living in Nashville, and they lived in the Charleston, West Virginia area. So after, within 6 months, my father had passed away from the cancer. And so I moved. I sold my house, everything I owned, moved back to West Virginia without even questioning it, just to move back here to help my mom. And while I'm here, I put myself in school. My fifth album is currently on the back burner. It's on hold. I've got some of my songs on Facebook. That's going to be my new album. And my older albums you can find through archives, through the websites and the search engines. But, yeah, you have setbacks on a lot of things. But that still is not going to stop anything in my life that I have planned, that I've got dreamed. While I'm here, you know, I had a lot of my friends I go on expeditions with across the entire United States looking for Bigfoot. Because that was my
We're not going to get to that yet. We have an array of topics to speak over you with.
When we get to the Bigfoot thing, what's interesting...
No. Wait, are you going to go there now?
No, I'm not going to go there now. I just want to say one thing about the whole Bigfoot thing is last night, when right before we went to sleep, we were watching Fact or Fiction, and it was about Bigfoot.
Yes, it was.
And I said, look at this. We were watching this, and tomorrow we have somebody who's actually hunted Bigfoot.
Yeah,
I actually have a few questions about that when we get to it, Chris.
but
before we go there, I want you to just tell people about your world hit songs.
Yeah, actually, your music, and that's very dear to my heart. I mean, I'm a big lover of music. Chris, we've only been friends on Facebook, but if we become friends for a longer term, you'll see. I absolutely love music. I post music. I talk about music. It's a big, I guess, topic in my life anyway.
That's awesome.
So let's talk about your history.
Well, when I moved to Nashville, my first song that I wrote, which I could probably get in trouble saying this, but, you know, I'm the type of person, I really don't care, sit me in court if you want to, but I wrote a song for a girl who was supposed to move to Nashville with me, and her name is Carrie McGrew, and I wrote a song called Carrying Your Love With Me. Well, Jeff Stevens was my guitar player's friend that came by my band house all the time. Well, after I moved to Nashville, she wasn't able to move to Nashville with me at the time, which she eventually did. And she heard the song playing on the radio. George Strait was playing it called Carry Your Love With Me. Well, red flags came up. I heard the song. It was like, well, that's my song, but it's different. They changed it or something. So my management company in Nashville, we sued George Strait. I got kicked in the butt swiftly by him. You cannot sue the king of country music. It just isn't going to happen. You'll destroy your career. So my mom told me to suck it up and write another song if that were your song. And my mom, she of course knows it's my song, but we couldn't go there and open that can of beans because it's a very hairy topic on that. So I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and I came up with my music. Now, I grew up listening to a large variety of music. I sing everything from metal to country. It ended up that one of my person's all-time favorite was Jeff Tate from Queensryche. I loved the style of voice and the octave ranges that he could hit. I have a five-octave range, which is very difficult for a male to hit a five-octave range, and it takes a lot of vocal training. And after I got there, I came up with some producers that recorded my first album. They were like, well, you know, you really just don't have the Nashville sound to you. And it's like, well, what is a Nashville sound? You know, you're trying to make me form into your mold. Let me be myself, my own artist. Well, they didn't want that. And I had to fight this to be my own artist. And so they were like, well, all right, well, MP3.com is pretty new out there as far as the music, but right now it's out of Universal Studios, Burbank, California. It's the world's largest internet provider of music, way larger than Napster and everybody else. Put your music on there and see how it does. Within no time, I started selling 80,000 plays per month, and that's on the minimal side, was 80,000 plays per month. It took probably about 3 months to get to that level. But it was awesome to see the producer's face when he was actually taking charts and watching with me, how fast it was growing. And we were outselling some of the biggest icons out there. Madonna was bringing in 16,000 to 18,000 plays in April of 2002. Linkin Park was bringing in 8,000 to 11,000 plays. And
yeah,
we
but
were selling
like 80,000.
I love all styles of music. You know, but when you compare it to who's on the, you know, if you're talking about the top recording artist out there of all time, who is selling the largest at the current point? And Faith Hill was bringing in 96,000 plays per month on her top song. In fact, I'm looking at the chart right now. On April 26, 2002, Breathe was the number one song on the world charts. The Way You Love Me made number two, and she has the third hit, which was called This Kiss, followed by number four, my song Best Friend, which I wrote and performed, and I gave the entire song away to United Way Special Friends of Portland. It was a group of down children's kids that I do shows for every year, twice a year.
That's
actually.
That's very nice.
That song, actually, I don't know if you actually had the chance to listen to that song, Best Friend. That song
I didn't listen to that. I did listen to one whatever song that you had on your Facebook page, on your videos. I listened to that one, and
yeah, we
like
that. We like that very much, actually.
Well, thank you.
So, Chris, so my next question is, have you ever seen a ghost? Because that's what
Chris,
really
you
becomes
you better
relevant.
Say yes to this question. This is a paranormal show. You better say yes.
Yes, I have.
All right, so talk to us
and
about the ghost.
we'll actually promote your page and as well as your
fantastic
music.
Thank you.
We're both
big lovers of music, so to all our friends as well, right?
You know what? Before you answer the question about the ghost, Chris, I just want to share a little something with you. When I was in the military, I'm a New York guy, obviously. Never, ever even thought about listening to country music. Always thought it was like the worst music in the world. I'm being completely honest with you. Went to the military. I was in the Air Force in New Mexico, and I had a bunch of friends that used to go to a club called the Boot Hill, and I would never go with them. And my friend said, listen to one song. If you like it, you come. I said, okay, no problem. I know I'm not going to like it. And he put on Garth Brooks's Friends in Low Places, and I loved it. And before you knew it, I was winning two-step contests, and I swear to God, I had my Justin Roper boots and
this
the whole
This is not New York mentality.
Yeah,
you know this, right, Chris?
And I was like an East Coast cowboy. I mean, I was in deep, and now country music is probably my favorite music.
Oh,
so.
Lord.
So you got a fan is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, that means so much to me to hear that. I mean, when I started, it was actually Garth Brooks that got me in the countryside. But before we get into Ghost, I want to go back a little step there. How I actually really got into the music swing of being a professional at music, singing in public. Now, I started playing the guitar when I was just a little baby. Singing came many years later. And this is kind of a little funny story. My brother and I, we were up in Hernshaw, West Virginia. It's just like a strip mine. It's a highway going through a bunch of coal mine areas. We're out there, and we're throwing snowballs at the trailers of a semi. Well, I accidentally hit the windshield of this truck, and he came to a stop. It took him, you know, probably a couple football field lengths to come to a stop on the icy road, but he did, and he came back after us. Me and my brother, we took off running around this church to go hide, and they were like, hey, hold on, kids. We're having youth church choir in here. Would you like to join? Yeah. We ran in that church, got out of our jackets, and hid behind everybody in that choir, and that truck driver came in there looking for us. And he didn't see us because we're out of our jackets and everything. So I started singing in a church choir. And that's kind of funny how I actually got into the point of singing in public. And we used to go around singing all over the place with the church choir. But that's how I started singing in public. It ended up that after we had these hits and everything, I grew up listening to a lot of music like Pink Floyd and different things that had, if you know Pink Floyd's music, he has a soulful background singer that just puts emotion into the song.
Right.
And that's what I did in Nashville. Right. I try to be different than anybody else. I put a female singer in there that put the emotion, you know, like just hear the breath of her, hear the compulsion of the honesty of how she would feel the expressions of a voice. Well, Nashville said I didn't have a sound for that. Now, we got on the charts and started climbing. That was the pinnacle of my career because it was doing really well, breaking the mold. It was outside the Nashville sound. and it pissed off a lot of natural producers or whatever, but it is what it is, and it made it to where
right.
it did. And now back to the ghost.
Okay, now back
right.
to the ghost.
So,
when and where did you see this ghost?
Well, you know, when I first moved to Hernshaw, West Virginia, which is a small coal mining town from Texas, my parents moved up here, and my dad got a job in the coal mines. We looked around at some houses to buy, and they bought this house. At the time, it was almost 150 years old when we bought it. Now, I seen a couple of things in there that I just really wasn't sure what I had seen. You know, like I thought I seen a silhouette of something moving, like, I don't know if you ever took a green laser light with fog in the room, how it just
okay.
kind of like just moves. I seen something like that coming out from under the house, and I seen it in the house at one point, and it was almost like a green color. I only seen it for such a brief period of time, but it always let me feel that there's something eerie about this house. Well,
Did you get a bad feeling from it, or was it a good feeling?
No, it was a bad feeling. It was kind of a bad feeling. Well,
okay.
After I got into high school, I saved up, went out and bought my clothes for the high school prom, tried them out, laid them out. Next morning, I was getting my clothes and everything together, and when I put my pants on, they had a big L cut in the leg. And it looked like somebody took a stack of razor blades about an inch thick, just a bunch of raking, like, slicing blades that were side by side, and there was an L sliced into my leg. Oh, that was
okay.
it. I went in there, and I woke my parents up. Who did this? Why would somebody do this to my pants? Whatever. They didn't know what in the world I was talking about. But that night when I went to bed, I heard something. It sounded like if you take a piece of candy or something and a little piece of cellophane plastic and crinkle it, where it almost sounded like a distant fire in another room. I looked back, and I seen this almost like a see-through, like a gray-colored man sitting there, short man,
mm-hmm.
kind of humped over. I could describe him to a T. I could see him, even though he was kind of like see-through looking.
Well,
mm-hmm. he was shaking his head back and forth like, it's like I was a waste of life or something. I don't know what he meant by shaking his head back and forth. I pulled
okay.
the covers over my head, and I felt the covers being tugged, like they were being pulled down on me. And I actually felt the resistance of the covers being pulled from me. Next thing I know, I woke up the next morning when the alarm was going off. The bedroom light was still on. I looked under the bed, and I looked around. I didn't see anything. That's when I found the L in my pants. Well, to make this long story short, I told my neighbor, which was a preacher, and he told me the story years and years ago, before I was born. His father died in my parents' house. His name is Lonnie
really?
Kirk. His name is Lonnie Kirk. They brought out an old picture of this man, which kind of reminded me of what you might imagine, not the Lucky Charm cereal commercial, but what one of those Lucky Charm guys would look like or something magically
right,
delicious.
Right.
It kind of looked a little bit like that, humped over, where his old crippled looking like, and that was the exact person I seen in the dream, or what do you call it, a state
a
of mind, whatever
well,
it was.
I call it more a vision than anything else.
Well, I wasn't asleep, so a vision would be what it is then.
Right,
and
that's absolutely
he showed
what it
me
is.
A picture of that guy, and his name was Lonnie Kirk, and I had an L cut in my pants.
Wow.
That was the first
and
sighting of
it. And you still remember it to this day, right?
Oh, I remember it thoroughly. I can tell you everything in detail on it. And if anybody ever doubted anything in my stories, please put me on a lie detector. I would do that in public anywhere.
I just want to say something. You know, I often in my psychic development classes tell people about dreams and visions, and there's a distinct difference in them. In dreams, they're just dreams, and in visions, you see, you smell, you taste, you remember everything so vividly. That's why when I'm telling you had a vision, and you obviously agree with me, because you'll never forget that. Dreams,
no.
they come and go, but visions, they're like impressions in your mind forever.
Speaking of dreams, I also added an excerpt tonight to someone who mailed us about their dream, and
right.
we're going to give them like a psychic dream interpretation.
Correct.
Or just... Like
you see, Chris, I do a smorgasbord of things, too.
Exactly.
Chris is a lovely
another,
guy.
Yeah.
I've seen another.
Okay, so, Chris, let's keep talking. So you had a near-death experience. Let's talk about that.
I love the near-death experiences.
Well, I think people who haven't had or have had like to hear about stuff like
that.
Yeah,
they're always interested in
yeah.
what the person went through.
Okay.
So,
well, through my depression, I had a roommate that moved in, and she had TMJ, and she had prescriptions for her Valium 10s. And I never was a pill junkie. I never took pills. I hated pills. I mean, you have to squeeze an aspirin down my throat to get me to take an aspirin. But they were out of town. It ended up I had my whole house to myself for several weeks. And when I went through this phase of serious depression, I took almost 90 Valium 10s, two bottles of liquor, 15 stitches in my wrist. I made sure that this wasn't a pity party. I didn't want anyone to think, well, he's just doing it to make people think that, you know, he just wants attention or something. I did this to make sure it was for real. And
right.
It ended up, when I died, they my mom and my ex-wife, who I was going through the divorce with, and my sister, who lived in Martinsburg, which is a good six, seven hours from Charleston, they all three felt something really bad instantly happened to me. So they were trying to call each other on the phone, and all three lines were busy at the same time where they're trying to call each other at the same time. It ended up my mom broke through and got a hold of my ex-wife and asked her, would you come out and check on my house to see if I was there, because they hadn't heard from me for 2 weeks. And they just felt something bad happen to me. And she herself agreed to come out to my house. Well, my cars were there. My motorcycle was there. The gate was locked. My house, you could hear music in there. And she started peeking through the windows, and she saw a blue body laying on the floor covered in a pile of blood where I had stabbed myself in the wrist. I have a huge scar on my wrist where I stabbed myself. And it ended up that they kicked the door in. Paramedics got there. They resuscitated me. They did barely get me back to life. And on the way to the hospital, I died. They pronounced me DOA, put a tag on my toe, and said that when they got me on the operating table, I'd already been dead for about 3 minutes. If I ever did come back to life, when I did, they said that I would never be the same because I had lost so much oxygen in my brain, I'd be permanently brain dead. Well,
right.
Some of my friends on Facebook still think I'm brain dead from some of the stories we tell. But,
well, living
yeah.
on a guy producing music and doing as well as you are.
And,
so.
chasing Bigfoot.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Well, it ended up that I got myself together, and that was the lowest point of my entire life. And I realized, you know, the only way to get back up is start right now. Pick yourself up, straighten yourself up, and realize what your mistakes are, and learn from your mistakes, and carry on. Because life goes on; it's not going to stop for one individual or a mass of people. Life goes on. Get with it, and
right.
get in the program, and find something that you love. So, on this note, I want to speak something here. I'm right now I'm the spokesperson for American Suicide Prevention, and there's so many people out there that just get depressed. You know what the biggest problem is? They just do not have someone to talk to.
That's
you know,
right.
If you ever get in that situation and you see me online, you better contact me. I mean, I will respond.
Actually,
to anybody
that's very
that responds
sweet.
To me.
That's very sweet, and I have something to add to that. Chris and I have so many friends of ours that just call us and talk to us
right.
about random stuff, about things that trouble them, and we're good friends to so many people. So we get that whole concept. We do, right?
Yeah, and I think that's really great
that's right.
what you're doing, I gotta
yeah,
tell you.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and I encourage it completely because I speak to people all the time about their problems, and it makes me realize how much I don't have any.
You know, that, well, listen to what she's telling you, people, because if you need someone to talk to, there you just need a friend. If there's a problem you're going through and you can't deal with it, what most people don't realize this, and I did not realize this, what I was doing to myself, when you go through stress of every day, your job or your children or your husband or wife or whatever you go through, it depletes your body of minerals, micronutrients that your body has to have. The stress, like when you smoke cigarettes, your cigarettes will take the magnesium out of your body. You have to replace that magnesium along with other micronutrients. Well, the depression will deplete your body from this. And before you know it, you actually throw yourself into a mental state that you were not aware of. You're making yourself digging your own hole further in the ground. When a positive person walks through this world, you have a positive vibe of energy. And that's what you need to become, is a positive vibe of energy. Be what you want to be, because this life is short. You need to make the most of it.
Okay.
You go out there and say to the whole world with a big smile every day of your life, this is my life, and you're my friend, and I love you. And the whole
oh
world.
Oh, my God.
I love you, Chris. I think you're an awesome dude.
So, Chris, we wanted to talk about your TV show that you're coming up with, your monsters, myths, and mysteries.
I'm very
Let's
interested in this.
Let's talk about this a little bit.
Sure.
He's such a nice man.
Well,
we
you
love
know,
you.
Going, sorry. with all my journeys of looking for Bigfoot, which it started off when I seen my first Bigfoot when I was a child, you know, I knew there was more out there. Now, the first one I actually thought, that, well, maybe this was just some kind of ape that escaped from a zoo. And I went to the library at school, and I got all kinds of books on apes. Couldn't find the ape that I saw. It wasn't in any of the library books that I saw. Well, you know, we just kind of blew it off. Like, well, maybe I just didn't see the right book or something. But regardless, when I seen my second one as an adult, it was a Dunlap holler peeking behind a tree looking at me when I was walking up the holler with my second ex-wife.
And how big
a musician's going to have ex-wife people. You know, but it ended up that I seen
nice
this
guy
right
with
there.
A sense of humor.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't see the ape. I saw it. And then I
we
found
did.
That ape on the internet. You know, people told me, you didn't see nothing. Like, how you're trying to tell me you saw a really large ape in the woods. Yes, I did. You know, for a person in the family where I grew up, you just don't go telling people you saw, it'd be like saying I saw a pink elephant running through the woods with sneakers on. You know,
right.
They just could not conceive or believe that. Well, that was, it became a compulsion to me that I have to find out what that was. I found out what that was on the internet eventually. I found it in books. But in the process of this, I kept on looking for this because I've seen it twice now. It's out there. There's some kind of ape out there. And they didn't look anything alike as far as the hair colors and stuff. So with all the research that I've done and throughout all the years and going through every state in the United States so many dozens of times with my music, with different things in my life that have brought me to different states, usually what I'll do, I'll use the music as a crutch to get me to the state. And then when I'm not on tour or I got a break between shows, I'm out in your neck of woods looking for Bigfoot. You know, I'm invited to all these after parties and go here and there. No, not me. I'm out in the woods looking for Bigfoot. So if you want to follow me, let's go look for Bigfoot when I'm out on tour. But I've actually got to go in every state I've been in, and I've actually got to spend at least 2 weeks in 46 of the states. And out of that time, I have seen so much evidence in every state. Now, I haven't seen a Bigfoot in every state. I've only seen 7 Bigfoots total.
All right, what
but
about New
evidence.
York? What about
I'm
New
sorry?
York? New York?
What about New York? Yeah, I was up at Chateauguay, New York 2 years ago. Chateauguay is in the very top northern part of New York. And there's a big forest that I was driving through up there, and we got out and we actually explored through the woods. And through there, we'd seen track marks, we'd seen the trees, the saplings that were snapped over approximately 6 to 8 feet up in the air, stacks of rocks. There are a lot of.
But we looked
fire.
At some of your photos in New York as well. They were pretty fantastic.
Thank you. We've got.
You're welcome.
I have actually so many photos I haven't even begun. What you see on my Facebook site or my MySpace sites. Those are just, that's just like a scratch in the earth right there from a bulldozer.
I know, it's like our photos. Have you looked at our website, right, Chris?
Yes, I have.
We've got ridiculous photos.
Yeah,
we do so many paranormal things.
Yeah, like, well, last time I was on your show, you had the levitating straw.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's some, let me break the something up here a minute. I went to the first palm reader the other day, so they could read my palm. You would not believe what
right.
they told me.
What did they tell you?
Across, they slapped me across the face and said, boy, get a girlfriend. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You probably got 3 or 4.
Just on the weekend.
Well, we won't.
If he's lucky, I mean,
we won't talk about that. So.
Put up my phone.
So, okay, so let me ask you a question.
Wait, we warned Chris about how... I guess friendly we are.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chris. Okay. You claim to have seen 7 Bigfoots. Is that what you said?
That's correct. Yes.
7. Okay. Now all these people. Now this drives me crazy because so many people have claimed to see to have seen Bigfoot, and you get like a picture here and there. You get video here and there, but nothing ever concrete. Why can't we get something concrete to say, yes, that is absolutely a Bigfoot. There is no doubt in anybody's mind. Why?
Well, there's a very simple equation to that. First of all, Bigfoot is mostly nocturnal. Their eyesight
okay.
is designed to be nocturnal. They're out late in the evenings. We're inside a house or in a tent or somewhere inside. You yourself normally just hey, I'm going to walk through the woods at midnight. Most people don't do that. You know,
right.
they know there's
yeah,
things out
true.
In the woods that, you know, like Charlie Daniels said, there's things out in the woods that make a strong man die from fright.
Charlie Daniels. Wait.
Yeah.
Are we in this day and age?
Well, that's the double went down to Georgia. Charlie Daniels, he's a legend.
Yeah, he did. He went down to Georgia, that's
so,
for sure.
Okay, so they're not
that
turtle. Okay.
Well, your camera is actually what you could buy, you know, at your local stores, unless you're super loaded with money and you don't have a bunch of kids or something that you just go out and buy, you know, a 10 grand camera or up. Your
right.
average Walmart, Kmart, Sears type of stores sell a camera usually to a limit. Online you might go higher, but in the store you usually can't buy a camera more than $500 to $700 at one of the major department stores. That,
right.
And even then it's limited, it's very limited, how far it can pick up at nighttime. But there's another equation to that too. Have you ever noticed when you put your camera in night mode from off to turn your camera on, night mode, ready to shoot, how much time goes by. It's not like flip switch, there it is. You know,
that's
the technology is just not there yet for the average person to buy a camera that you flip it on night mode and it's instantly on and there's Bigfoot, catch it. And it has to be able to pick up at a distance of a range. Most of your cameras aren't going to pick up something that's black in the woods, you know, at almost complete darkness that's less than 30 feet away from you. It's just isn't going to happen.
Right. Okay.
You know, so our technology is not there.
Next question.
Yet.
I understand that. You have all these great hunters that go to the Amazon and to Africa hunting, you know, buffalo and grizzly bears and saber-toothed tigers and all these things. How come these great hunters haven't gone out and hunted, I'm not saying killed, but at least captured a Bigfoot? I mean, they hunt at night. Well, why can't we catch them?
Wait. I guess what Chris is trying to say, like, from the listener's perspective, everyone wants to know, like, all right, well, if they're there, why doesn't anyone know they're there or have proof that they're there, right? That's the question.
Well, kind of. I mean, I want to know why. I mean, like Chris said, they don't have, the technology, and I get that. I mean, you have somebody who's fishing with a $20 rod and reel, and then you have somebody like me who's an avid fisherman. I have a $700 rod and reel. You know, I have better stuff, but there are people out there that do have better equipment. They are better equipped to
so
to
you're
go out
looking
there and look
for
them.
A better proof.
Yeah, I want to know why these great hunters or whatever have not been able to capture a Bigfoot. I know that they
usually
hunt at night.
A great hunter usually goes after a specific target. If you're looking for telltale signs of where that cat is hiding at, that's what you're going after. Or if you're looking for that rhino or the elephant, you're looking for the telltale sign of that. Now, if that great hunter was going out in the woods and looking for the different signs to find a Bigfoot, it would be a little different. But most of the great hunters don't go out and look for a Bigfoot. And
I get that. But now, don't you think that if one of these or a few of these hunters did target a Bigfoot, they'd be like the biggest name in the, the person who captured a Bigfoot. I mean, it's like, that would be like a tremendous, tremendous media story.
Of course, it would be the largest on Earth. It'd be among the largest stories on Earth.
Why don't we have more people looking for them? I mean, you have somebody like you who's so into it. I'm sure that there are hunters out there. And I know there are a lot of people that don't like hunters, whatever. I really don't care about that. I'm just using it as an example.
Well, I'm not a big fan.
Okay, but I'm just using it as an example. Why can't we get these people together who for a common cause of capturing a Bigfoot, go out there, do it at night, set your traps, whatever has to be done, and capture a Bigfoot and bring it to the public's eye with complete certainty that there's nothing like on that Facts of Fiction last
night.
Well,
no, but you're a little, and I know Chris is thinking this in his mind, it's slightly, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, it's slightly cavalier to think you're going to walk in and just capture what you think you want.
No, I don't think it is.
Right,
I mean,
let's see
it's like somebody who goes fishing for a great white shark.
He's all uptight. Chris, tell me, is that not cavalier slightly? I mean, to think that you're just going to walk in and capture the Bigfoot and drag him in like unga bunga.
I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying if somebody actually went out there and targeted it, why couldn't they capture it? That's what I want to know.
You know, a person goes into a diamond field like down in Arkansas thinking they're going to find it. Every day people go in there looking for a diamond.
Absolutely.
Every now and then somebody comes
I agree
in
with
and
him
finds
completely.
A diamond. So it could be your first day out there on a Bigfoot hunt, and you may be extremely amateur. Your first time out in the woods looking
like
for Bigfoot.
It could be like 200 days.
I agree with him. That's something that we never can predict. It's unpredictable. Only God knows that answer when that will happen. But with our own self, all we could do is arm ourselves with what technology is available, the best of the technology if you can afford it, and then go out there looking for what you're specifically looking for.
And
for example,
then it's
if you're looking
environment.
For ghosts, if you're looking for ghosts, you take certain precautions, you take certain pieces of equipment in there, and it's best to go in there with somebody that can get you out of a situation if you don't know what you got yourself into. You know, and that's the same thing with a Bigfoot. If you're going out there, you don't want to come across a Bigfoot that might be an extremely aggressive pod, a family of them, and you're not protecting yourself. You know, going out there with a slingshot or something is ludicrous because, you know, my small arm that I carry with me is a Colt 45, and I would never, ever want to shoot a charging gorilla, much less a Bigfoot
with
a Colt 45.
Yeah, we saw your photos. you photo a gun.
Right. And,
bullet.
And my first thought was, there's no way that that gun is stopping a Bigfoot. I mean, am
yeah,
I crazy to say that?
No, you're not.
By
that's
the way, he had some
all.
Fantastic photos. You had some beautiful photos.
Yeah, I want everybody to go to his website and check it out.
Chris, mention your website.
ChrisAllen.com, and it's with a K, KRISALLEN.com. ChrisAllen.com.
Lovely photos.
You could also find what you can't find on my website, if you just simply put my name, Chris Allen, my band is called Chris Allen and Southern Thunder, and just put Chris Allen and Southern Thunder in any of your search engines out there, and put a / Bigfoot, and it'll take you to other things that I don't even know what's out there. It amazes me. Sometimes I'll get bored and I'll go through them where I got a little extra time, and I'll just type in and see what people are writing about me. Well, that's how I found out the American Idol Chris Allen was wanting me to do a duet with him on
MTV. Didn't want to mention that.
You know what?
Yeah, did you
that
see the video
really
on that where Chris Allen on American Idol? He's holding my CD up, and he's talking about where he used to make fun of me on MySpace.
I know.
Well, I had long hair. I chopped off 17 inches of my hair after my parents found out they had cancer, and I gave it to Locke
wow.
Love. Well, he didn't know that. And he was still criticizing me for having a mullet. And so I came up with a song. You know the
mullet.
Song Iron Man? You know the song
right.
Iron Man?
Right.
I am Mullet Man.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
And I actually recorded
so
that.
Wait. I just want to mention, anyone listening, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. You could look for Chris Stephanie on the Second Sight NYC. You can check out our website, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. Or on Facebook under Sec Site
Para.
And Chris, we loved having you as a guest. You are a fantastic guy.
Yeah, you're a good guy. I got to say, not only are you interesting, but you're obviously a nice guy.
Well,
and
diverse.
I don't know how many ex-wives you have, but you know what? It's their loss.
Well, we plan on keeping in touch with Chris.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. You're not married right now, are you?
Well, actually, I'm still married, yes.
Oh, you are still married with the person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then your ex-wives are out of luck. Good for them and good for you.
I don't know what vibe this guy's getting.
You know,
he's supposedly
my preacher,
a psychic. What's up, Chris?
He's
got something to say.
I took my preacher, which looked exactly like Robin Williams. From Nashville,
hey, this
Tennessee.
Guy's a psychic, so he's got something to say with what you got going
you that,
on.
Yeah,
so just
you know,
fess up, Chris.
You know what, Chris? I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, and I like you too much already. So.
He's a lovely
yeah.
man.
Yeah, because what I was going to say would have gotten you in trouble, so I'm just shutting up.
Well, no, what I was getting ready to say, I took my preacher all the way up to West Virginia to get married to this girl. It ended up, my preacher was too drunk to realize that where we was, he wasn't ordained or something of that nature to marry us. So I was like, okay, well, what are we doing here? So we had a marriage that really wasn't a real marriage. And then later down the line, we got married again. We separated.
All right, so, look, Chris sensed it. We appreciate it. This is a great conversation,
she was my cousin. No, I'm kidding.
You know, I'm actually considered a pretty good psychic.
You know what? This is like how I have conversations with my friends. We love this.
Yeah.
Chris, this is great talking to you. And we're going to talk to you soon. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me soon.
Yeah,
right?
You were fantastic, Chris, really.
Yeah.
Everybody check out his website. I mean, the guy's the goods, obviously.
Yeah, dynamite.
Thanks,
Chris.
And once again, on an ending note, if anybody out there feels like they have something that they just got to get off their chest and need somebody, look one of us up here. I mean, one of the three of us right here, we'll talk to you. We'll take the time. You know, it may take me a couple days to get back to my computer. But when I get back in town and I got all these messages on there, I try to go back one by one. And I get 400 emails a day, and I try to go through and answer every single
one. We do the same. We have good friends that we haven't even met in person. But
right.
You know, and they're listening tonight as well, so amen to that.
And I know you got more fans out of the show. I promise you that, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you. My charts were growing fast. The last time I got on your show, I had like 400 new friends that joined my list of friends within like 10 hours.
Wow.
It was a huge number of people that started growing just overnight, and you know, shows where you get on there and you just be yourself, you know, and
that's what
I do.
People
I do
like
music. I look for Bigfoot. And I'm making a movie about it called Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries. And it's a TV show that should be on A&E. And I work with Java Bob and several other well-named knowns out there. In fact, I was on the line today on Facebook getting a hold of Jane Goodall. She's got her slide on there, and I hope she responds to it because we're trying to get Jane Goodall on this show.
Well,
so if anybody
great.
Out there knows how to get a hold of Jane Goodall, send her my way.
All right, Chris, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling, and we'll be in touch, you know.
God bless. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
All right.
You too.
Thank you for being our guest.
Bye.
What a great guy.
Wow, he was awesome. He was even nicer this time than the first time we talked to him, which was hard to believe. Good guy.
I love that about people. So you have a birthday reading for Michelle?
Yes, I have a birthday reading for Michelle. It's a reading on the actual birthday, the day of birth, and then I'm going to actually throw a little something extra Hawaii. So this is my birthday reading for Michelle. And I just want to put this out there. If anybody else wants birthday readings about their actual birthday, email me. Email me your name and your birthday, day, month, and year, and I will give you a birthday reading. Okay? It's not a regular reading. It's a reading on the birthday.
Just read it, will you?
You better take it easy, girl. Okay. June 30th is the day of motivation. People born on the 30th are ruled by the number 3. These people tend to rise to the highest positions in their careers and love their independence. The tarot card that represents June 30th people is the Empress card. This card symbolizes creative intelligence. The Empress represents positive traits of charm, grace, and unconditional love. June 30th people tend to have digestive system problems, so that's not a good thing for you, Michelle. Sorry. You must beware not to overeat during times of depression. And June 30th people need to learn to love themselves more. So think about that. You need to channel your aggression into creative pursuits if possible. Uncover your fears and work on them. Don't allow yourself to retreat into a shell. Some strengths include technical proficiency, being money-wise and motivated. Weaknesses include being moody at times, being repressed and negative. That's also something you probably need to work on. All right, now to put a little bit extra. This is directed at you personally. Get ready for a big change, one where an old habit or way of thinking is going out and a new way of being is emerging. In spite of the challenges, you'll get through this transition, and as always, know that this too shall pass. Those words are important because that was given to me, you know, that those were channeled words, so that's something you need to listen to. You're going through a major life transition and need to break out of your self-imposed cocoon. That is my first birthday reading, Stephanie.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, I actually like doing that. So if anybody else wants birthday readings, you know, on Facebook, you can inbox me at Chris George Cirillo or Sex Site Para and give me your name and, you know, date and, you know, year, and I'll give you guys a birthday reading on the show.
So here was a new concept that I came up with this week about dream interpretations, and it seemed to be very well received in terms of people who have dreams. And we did have one person who mailed us and asked us, "Hey, I had a dream. My name's Tina." And here it was. Tina was dreaming that she dreamt about her mother's apartment changing the configuration of her furniture. She said her mom's been dead for 2 years, and she's still cleaning up it in her head, which was kind of funny for Tina. But what did you get from this, Chris?
All right. You want my reading on this, huh? Here we go. To see furniture in your dreams represents how you feel about yourself and your family. It refers to your relationships with others and how they fit into your life. To dream that you're moving furniture indicates that you're going out of your way to please others. In this dream, you're trying to get your mom's approval on decisions you've made in your life. Also, you may be changing your ways of trying to reevaluate your relationships or attitudes, and consider how easy or how difficult it is to move the furniture, because that might indicate the level of burden or responsibility that you're feeling. To see old, worn furniture in your dreams symbolizes outdated attitudes that kind of make sense, former relationships, and or old ways of thinking. And if you have specific pieces of furniture, you know, that you were moving, if you told me about it, I can get more in depth with the dream analysis. I hope that was helpful to you.
Yeah, but there,
I actually enjoy doing it.
I have to say, there's like analyzing a dream. There's so many universal symbols.
Yeah.
Like for instance, if somebody dreams of animals, it's of their own traits, whether they're good or bad. There's so many facets. If they dream of automobiles or vehicles, it's the direction in their life
where
that they're heading,
their
or their body for that matter. Then if they dream of children, it's what's most important to them, something new, something joyous or different for that matter. And if they dream of clothing, it's, I'd say it symbolizes their mood or state of mind. So there's so many facets, and you can continue. Like death is another, like, pertaining to change. Or buildings, it's the direction or specific area of their life. So there's lots of facets of dreams. But we encourage people, if you have a dream, you want it interpreted, I'll tell you what. They'll get a proper analyzation of what specific assets, and then they get your psychic insight.
Right.
We put it together, we write it up, and that's what we did for Tina tonight.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, we came up with this idea just yesterday, and we put it out there on Facebook, and immediately somebody, this Tina on Facebook, inboxed us and told us about her dream. And I really enjoyed doing it. You know, I didn't think that it would be something I would like doing. You know, I thought it was an interesting concept, to see, you know, what it means and then to get my psychic spin on it. I actually really enjoyed it. So I'm encouraging you people, send it in, and then I'll give you guys a really good reading on it. As always,
you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio on the Second Sight NYC. You can check
Facebook.
Out our website. No. www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. You could check us out on Facebook, Sex Site Tara.
You could look on the Stephanie Benetti, or you can look on the Chris George Cirillo. And don't be scared to friend us. We're very friendly. I think you could tell by the way we are on the radio, always joking around, having a good time with the guests and also friends.
Actually, we had a great guest tonight. I really liked having Chris.
Yeah, I loved having him.
He was such an interesting guy.
Before we get to the end of the show, do we have enough time to bring Alex back on?
I'm not sure.
For another minute or so.
Okay. Alex, are you with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
How you doing, Alex? You know, we only have a couple minutes left, so I just wanted to get your closing thoughts on the whole exorcism.
Well, I mean, that was the first time me leading one, but it was just you did your thing and the spirit was in there and you did all those weird things with your body, diving on the table and doing this, like, stretching each way. It was weird.
Why don't you talk about that for a quick minute? Because for those of you who don't know me, I'm 250 pounds. I'm not a little guy. My body doesn't bend well. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what my body was doing.
Well, the first thing is there was a table. You were sitting in front of a table, like maybe 2 or 3 feet off the floor, and you dove under there within 2 seconds. And then later on, you're on a sofa, and you're bending your body like back in a way like a gymnast. It was just very strange. Like,
Not really, but yeah. See, that's something that I normally wouldn't do. So, but listen, Alex, we gotta get off the line now because we gotta do our closing thoughts and everything. I want to thank you once again for coming on the show. As always,
always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
All right, thank you guys. Have a good night.
Mork
out. Nanu.
Well, this has been a great show.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to just mention you're promoting a psychic fair that's coming up, and you're also doing psychic development classes.
The psychic development classes every 2 weeks. The next one is in 2 Mondays. The date, I think, is
November 30th.
November 30th. If anybody's interested in psychic development classes in the Staten Island, New York area, you know, get in contact with me. The classes are fantastic. I'm actually going to bring somebody from the class next week to talk about it.
So I'd just like to say, anyone who'd like to get in touch with us, www.secondsightnyc.web.com. We'll be online next week. this time, November 24th at 9 p.m. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Just click follow. Check out our website. Check out our investigations, photos, videos, EVPs, etc. Chris, you have a message?
Yeah, I have a message. My message of the day is the universe operates by agreement. Like attracts like. You become what you consistently place your mental and emotional attention on, good or bad. You can't change the past, but you can influence the future. Remember, happiness is a journey, not a destination. I also want to say we're out here every day, every week, making unbelievable believable, and may the spirits guide you.
Thank you. Good night.